Japan surrendered to the United States at World War II in 1945. However, it appears that not all the Japanese soldiers got the memo on this. And so for many years, there were soldiers that continued fighting for Japan. They're known as Japanese holdouts. One of them, Hiro Onanda, continued fighting in a guerrilla-type fashion until 1974. He continued fighting World War II for 29 years after the U.S. claimed victory and Japan surrendered. And he wasn't even the one that went the longest. In life as a Christian, we need to understand something. And it's a foundation that Paul has been laying in his letter to the Galatians throughout this letter. He's been laying a foundation. And that is that victory is yours in Christ. It is something that is assured to you. Christ has defeated sin. He has defeated death. His work is complete. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ. You are therefore adopted into the family of God, which we saw in chapter 4. You are promised an inheritance, promised purely by God's grace. You do nothing to earn it. Through faith and in baptism, the Holy Spirit lives in you. God Himself dwells in you. This is the foundation Paul has laid. This is the good news. Galatians is almost like a gospel. It has a lot of good news to it. But you have an enemy that hasn't gotten the memo and continues to fight. Just like Hiro Onanda and the Japanese holdouts, it refuses to surrender, even though victory has been claimed. Here again, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. If you are guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires. Another way of saying that is you won't obey the desires of your flesh. The Spirit and the desires of your flesh are enemies of each other. They are always fighting, keeping you from what you should do. Victory has been claimed. Know that that is the truth, the foundation, but yet the war wages on. The desires of your flesh just will not give up. And they won't give up until the day you stop breathing or until Jesus returns. They continue to fight. The desires of your flesh will continue to fight the Spirit of God living in you. It fights you, child of God, putting forth every effort it can to prevent you from living as the Spirit directs you to live as a child of God. And so Paul gives this warning now. After the foundation has been laid, he gives this warning to his readers, to the Galatians. He gives it by the Spirit to us as well. Do not, as children of God, do not, people of faith in Christ alone, go back to living as though you don't need the grace of Christ alone. Don't go back to living and doing works of the flesh. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to a way in which you think you can possibly earn God's grace. Don't go back to living in a way where you think by your obedience you can gain God's favor. Remember the cure argument in Galatians is that people believe that faith in Jesus by itself wasn't enough to be saved by God. That you had to have faith in Jesus and something else. Paul is continuing to fight this belief, this idea. And that something else is essentially a work of the flesh. But Paul tells us flat out his opinion of the works of the flesh. Because the works of the flesh will always lead to this list that Paul gives. Paul likes lists. And he gives us another one here, beginning in 19. He'll say, the works of the flesh are this: giving in to immoral ways, filthy thoughts, shameful deeds. Yeah, they might start out good. It might start out in a way where you are doing something good, but the work of the flesh, its foundation is this. It worships idols, practices witchcraft, hates others, are hard to get along with. People become jealous, angry, selfish. They argue, they cause trouble, they are envious, get drunk, carry on at wild parties, and do other evil things as well. It's like he ran out of room to continue on with the list. That is Scripture's assessment of the flesh. And works of the flesh always lead to the list. To live and to go and to give into this, to live according to this, is to turn your back, really, on the grace of God. To go back to the flesh is to reject God's grace. It's to reject the gift given to you. It's to reject the inheritance that God wants to grant to you. Remember, inheritance isn't something you earn. It's something that is blessed to you. Inheritance language is itself grace language, mercy language. It is gift language. And here, to go to the work of the flesh, Paul says, if you continue this way, you will not inherit God's kingdom. You're rejecting the gift. So what do we do? Paul says this. It's so simple, but it's difficult at the same time. What do we do? Paul says, well, instead of going to the works of the flesh, walk according to the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And this, too, is good news. Because the Spirit in you is also a gift. You did nothing to earn it. You didn't say, oh, Spirit, I invite you into my body. No, God gave it to you. As you came to faith, God gave you this Spirit. As you were baptized, God gave you the Spirit. And now Paul says, walk by the Spirit. And walking by the Spirit is to understand that you are totally dependent on God's grace, God's gift, God's mercy. You are dependent on what God has done for you. And he says, live by the Spirit, and you'll not give in to the desires of the flesh. How do you know you have the Spirit? Well, first, you can look to the font and know you were baptized, and there God gave you that. How do you know that the Spirit is working in you? Well, each and every time you think, oh, I should really go help my neighbor, that's not you thinking that. It's the Spirit telling you that. Or anytime you feel conviction about something like, oh, I really shouldn't be doing that, that's not you thinking that. If that was you thinking that, you'd think, oh, I want to do that. The Spirit is working in you. Remember the foundation Christ has laid in you, that through faith, the Spirit lives in you. By faith in him, you are saved by grace, the grace of God. Your sin is forgiven. By faith, you are a co-heir of Christ. All that comes with being a child of God is blessed and gifted to you. And so the fruit of the Spirit is in you. Not because it's your fruit, because it's the Spirit's fruit. Even when you don't feel this second list, loving, happy, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled, even when you don't feel very fruitful, guess what? It's the Spirit's fruit. And the Spirit is in you and works through you and brings that out of you. And when we fail, you still have God's forgiveness. So this morning, as we go forth, heed the call of the Lord. Live by the Spirit. Live as He directs you. Live and walk and work as one whom God has laid a tremendous foundation for, not as your flesh dictates. Let us pray together. Almighty Lord, we give you thanks for this day that you've blessed us with. And we pray, O Lord, that you would work your Spirit in us, that we would have ears to hear and hearts to know how you are leading us. Help us to be obedient. Help us to know the foundation you have laid upon us, though, to know that we are forgiven and that you have given us so much. We pray this in your almighty name. Amen.